The scripture for today's message is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for your lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will be not enough for us, and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in, and with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert, then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Dear brothers and sisters, as in today's passage, and in many parts of the Bible, our Lord is likened to groom, while the children of God to brides. Also, the feast where we will celebrate with our Lord for 7 years after His second coming is called the wedding banquet. For example, Matthew chapter 22 verse 2 reads, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." We also read in Revelation chapter 19 verse 9, "Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God." Being invited to the wedding banquet of the Lord means we are saved and gain eternal life, so we are truly blessed. People who fail to attend the banquet will remain on this earth and suffer the 7-year great tribulation. And those who've already died, they will suffer the horrible torment of hell, namely in the lower grave. Thus, we should realize that we are so blessed just for the fact that we can attend the banquet as His bride. Matthew chapter 22 verse 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Father God has proclaimed the way of salvation of Jesus Christ through the Bible and a great number of His servants and witnesses. God desires anyone to believe and reach salvation, thereby attending the wedding banquet of His beloved Son as a bride. Although many people have been invited by Father God, there are not as many people who truly believe His word and enter the wedding banquet. Those who refuse to believe and pay heed to His word will obviously not attend the wedding banquet. But even among believers are people who won't be allowed into the banquet. Matthew chapter 22 verse 11 through 13, "But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Here, wedding clothes signifies appropriate and neat clothing for the wedding banquet. Spiritually, it means a holy heart or sanctification, which is required for us to enter His banquet. Also, in today's passage, the five virgins who failed to prepare oil were not allowed to attend the feast. Therefore, for us, God's children, to qualify for the wedding banquet, we have to satisfy the requirements of the bride. Our church members have been striving to prepare themselves to be qualified as the Lord's brides. Today, I will deliver a message based on Senior Pastor's past sermon, Requirements of the Bride, preached in August 24th. 2003. As we are amidst the flow of Holy Spirit, I urge you to once again examine your heart through this message and thus become qualified as His bride more fully. Brothers and sisters, what kind of a bride would a bridegroom want? Think of this from a groom's perspective. What kind of a bride would you want? The requirements explained from now on don't only concern female members, because our Lord is the groom and all of us are His brides. They pertain to all children of God, regardless of gender. And the requirements are the things we can all accomplish in the Lord. They don't require us to learn worldly knowledge, have fame or authority. If we just love God, we are able to fulfill all those requirements. First of all, a bride should be the one who causes her groom to be joyful and glad when he looks at her. When the bride is adorable and cute, the groom will be pleased and happy and want to wrap her in his arms. Also, the groom wants his bride to be beautiful. The bride should have a beautiful heart and be pure and elegant in all her words and deeds. She should be in good shape, have a bright look, and sometimes be bashful and shy. She should not be blunt, but cheerful, bright, and amiable. She should have etiquettes and not be rude. She should be meek, humble, and not hot-tempered. She should have shiny eyes, be in neat clothing, elegant and beautiful, while not extravagant. She should be clean and calm. How many they are! But if you live in God's Word, you won't feel such a way. Senior Pastor said, as you love God and live within His Word, you naturally have such attributes. Namely, as you circumcise your heart and go into deeper levels of spirit, you will be equipped with those requirements. You will naturally have them even without taking extra etiquette courses or taking some bridal lessons, because the Holy Spirit leads you to change. Besides, a beautiful bride would look charming, neat, and gorgeous in her clothing. I'm not saying you have to be extravagant. A beautifully decorated cake looks and tastes better than the one without toppings or decorations. Brides should be honest and not be deceitful or rebellious. She should neither slander nor backbite anyone. Our Lord, the bridegroom, is good, righteous, spotless, and blameless in heart. His heart is clean and pure, without any evil. But if His bride harbors evil and speaks ill of and slanders others, how would our Lord feel? If a bride has many blemishes and flaws, while her groom is flawless and blameless, it would be difficult for the groom to accept her. He would be saddened, much less rejoice. Then, what requirements should we have to be a bride pleasing to the Lord? From now on, let me elaborate on three requirements of the bride. The first requirement of the bride who is pleasing to the Lord is to have firm faith by which you don't waver in trials and tribulations. Father God believed and trusted Abraham, even calling him his friend. He proclaimed him his friend, the father of faith, and a righteous person. Abraham was blameless in God's sight. He had no blemish in faith. He didn't leave any blemishes in his faith. When God commanded, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house," he just left. There were times he had he had his wife taken away and departed for Egypt, searching for food. Even in troubles, he never doubted God's word or felt troubled or distressed. He left no blemish in his faith. Father God was pleased with his faith. He joyfully accepted his heart and his faith that didn't waver even amidst trials or tribulations. God reminds us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." There was a reason our Father God was delighted with Abraham. His trust in God's promise never wavered or shook, even when he was in situations incomprehensible with man's thoughts. And he demonstrated his evidence of complete faith through these. He showed perfect obedience to God's command to offer his son Isaac, the seed of his promise, as a burning sacrifice. Other than Abraham, God's beloved prophets and Jesus' disciples didn't waver or falter in any trials and tribulations. They didn't even hesitate to offer their own lives. At the risk of their lives, Daniel and his three friends kept their faith by not bowing down before the idol. For her people, Esther gave up all her fame and authority as the queen. She chose that path at the risk of her own life. She wouldn't turn her back on her people and her country. It's hard to find such a figure nowadays. These days, we see people changing their mind once something goes against their benefit, but the Lord's bride should have faith that doesn't waver no matter what. Who would want a fickle, cunning, and double-minded bride who sways back and forth? Suppose a husband fails in his business and suffers a great trouble. Even so, his wife shouldn't nag her husband or complain about the situation. She shouldn't complain, grumble, and regret having married her husband. She shouldn't say, "You've deceived me to marry me." Even if so, once she's got married, she should let go of the past and start anew. There's no doubt deceiving is an obvious fault. Nonetheless, if she can encourage and cheer up her husband, he would get strengthened. A wise woman wouldn't get irritated or troubled, but happily treat her husband. If the wife can strengthen her husband to get back up on his feet, she can make her husband succeed. But who would want a double-minded bride who sways back and forth? If a wife can't fully trust her husband and open up her heart, it will be miserable. Our Lord is delighted with a bride who is filled up with the Spirit and marches on in faith without cunningness and doubts. As we reflect on how our shepherd has consistently fulfilled the Lord's will and kept his faith in extremely dire situations, let's meditate on how we should welcome our Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, we've witnessed how our shepherd has conducted himself for the last 35 years. Even on the verge of dying, he only relied on God. In 1992, he bled so much to the point where he couldn't survive, but he only depended on God. He was in a state in which his heart stopped beating and he literally died. Even at this point, he and his family entirely counted on God. So even though he'd stopped breathing, God brought him back to life. Some of the church leaders were watching all this right by his side. It was the same when this church went through a big trial in 1999. Relying on God only, he conquered the trial in faith. Consequently, God opened the path for him to accomplish the first wave world mission beginning in 2000. We've seen God giving him power upon power and having all of us united as one and make spiritual growth. He blessed us only with good occasions, with manifestations of signs and wonders. He's enabled us to grow spiritually. On top of that, He has fulfilled the justice on behalf of us for the last 6 years, since 2010. He endured the sacrifice so that those who couldn't be saved could be saved and run in the hopes of New Jerusalem. No matter the circumstance, He never gave up on us. He didn't want to give up because it was grueling for Him to do so. He didn't let go of His hand of love. He's fulfilling His God-given duty to fill in New Jerusalem with us. So now, with power of recreation, He is completely accomplishing the Father's providence in the end time. In the Bible are scenes where those who only acted by faith, even amidst tribulations, were protected and blessed by God. As the result of their trust in Him, God kept Daniel's three friends safe in the burning furnace. As recorded in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, He sent someone whose appearance was like a son of the gods, thereby protecting them from getting harmed. When Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, God sent His angel and sealed the lion's mouth so that Daniel's innocence would be made evident. The reason why God was pleased with Daniel and his three friends was they firmly kept their faith even in a situation where they could have lost their lives. Despite being threatened to be killed, they refused to worship the idol. They did not forsake their faith in God, even though they had to be thrown into a burning furnace or become prey to hungry lions. As a result, Daniel and his three friends rose to higher positions and enjoyed blessing. Then, what about you in your efforts to become the Lord's bride? Have you found yourself wavering in faith, although God didn't allow your trials where He demanded life of your only son, as with Abraham, but just permitted a brief trial for blessings? Has any of you felt discouraged or disheartened, thinking, "How could such a trial come to me? God doesn't love me because He didn't protect it from coming." In trials or tribulations, what you have to do is discern things spiritually, discover your faults, and repent. When such things come your way, even while you have no faults, but just live by the words, you are told to rejoice and give thanks. If you are persecuted in Jesus' name, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If we are reviled and persecuted, our heavenly rewards will be greater and things will turn out to be blessings. While you hear this sermon, you may decide, "If I'm faced with such troubles, I will get over it." But in reality, as you find yourself in trouble, you get concerned and worried, thinking, "Why does such a trial come my way? How could I overcome it?" This demonstrates your faith wavers. If you indeed believe, you will rejoice, pray, and give thanks, as God tells us. Even when trials and tribulations come as the result of your wrongdoing, if you rejoice, pray, and give thanks, the Holy Spirit will remind you of your faults. The only thing you have to do is turn back and repent. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The reason we face trials is that we can be found to result in praise and glory and honor when we stand before our Lord as His bride. It is a refining process to fix the areas where we fall short. Therefore, if we indeed have faith, we can greatly rejoice even when we find ourselves in trials. We, Mami members, have been witnessing countless undeniable evidences of God's being with us. And you will witness more and more, and on a greater scale. Our shepherd has always shown them. He's shown great works week after week. From now on, you will witness more astonishing works of recreation. There has been no end to His work in the church. God has been with us with new signs and wonders and ever-increasing power. He's shown us increasingly great works with dragonflies, heavenly breezes, and temperatures, thereby growing our faith. As you heard a testimony during the Sunday morning service, due to the drought in Kenya, many animals died, and the situation was very hard and tough in Kenya. But as Pastor Myung Ho Chung made a prayer request with faith to senior pastor, and as a result, it poured down in Kenya. Not only this, in 2002, in India Great United Crusade, and in 2009, Israel United Crusade, and such works will be manifested in a greater way worldwide and in a more amazing way. Amen. Let's give glory to Father God. And all these things have been serving as nutrients to solidify and strengthen our faith. Thus, I urge all of you to stand firm in your faith while riding on the flow of the Holy Spirit. I ask that you quickly achieve a heart of spirit and Holy Spirit, thereby becoming prize pleasing to the Lord. The second requirement of a bride who is pleasing to the Lord is have a clean and pure heart without any blemish. Having a clean and pure heart is not just acting holy, not just acting holy outwardly, but having a pure and clean heart on the inside. Even if one's outward actions appear clean and pure, God is not pleased with it because He looks at our inner heart. He wants a person who has become holy and clean by throwing away sins, lawlessness, and unrighteousness that defile our hearts. Some people proclaim, because I've lived a good life without doing anyone harm, I would go to heaven. But before God, no one can be said to be clean and pure in heart without believing in the Lord. It's because all men are born with the original sins inherited from Adam and sinful natures passed down from their ancestors. Even if a person tries to lead a good life, the standard to discern good differs by generation, country, one's level of learning and conscience. As it was made clear in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, not even one. In light of the Word of God, who is the truth itself, all men are sinners. Generally, as for the worldly people, if someone didn't cause harm to another person or violate the law, they considered him sinless. But for God, if one just harbors evil in his heart, he calls him a sinner and sees his heart as defiled. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, anyone who hates his brother is the murderer. Also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, those who have lust looking at a woman has already committed adultery. And said in these verses, God looks at our inner heart. So even if you have just a bit of those sinful attributes, your heart is not clean, although it is not revealed in action. God not only wants us to throw away sins revealed as action, but also wants us to get rid of even sins in our heart and have a clear and pure heart. That's why God said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. A person who used to argue and got angry should change into a meek person. An arrogant person should humble himself and serve others. And a person with hatred, envy, and jealousy should change to love even his enemies. As you cast off sin and evil and fill your heart with truth, your heart becomes clean. But even if you desire to cast off evil and achieve a clean heart, you can't do it on your own. As said in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, "For I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members." You have a desire to throw away sins, but at the same time, you have love for sins and hate throwing them away. Casting off sins and becoming sanctified can't be done by our will and strength alone. We need strength from God. For this to happen, as said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, "For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." What we have to do first is strive to live by the word of God with our will. As we continually lived in the truth, our deeds become holy. We can have sinful natures removed and achieve a clean and pure heart. Brothers and sisters, if your heart becomes clean, you will naturally keep your body and your surroundings clean. The process of cleaning your heart is referred to as washing our robes in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 reads, "Blessed are those who wash their robes." Namely, it says, those who cleanse and circumcise their heart are blessed, so that they may have the right to the tree of life. This signifies they walk down the path to eternal life and may enter by the gates. This implies we have to pass through the gates from the paradise to the first, second, and third kingdoms of heaven, enter New Jerusalem, and may enter by the gates into the city. Here, city refers to New Jerusalem. The Bible records that city's length, width, and height measures 15,000 miles and explains the details of its wall and its 12 foundation stones being adorned with 12 precious stones. But there's no such records about the paradise, first, second, and the third kingdoms of heaven. Only New Jerusalem is recorded in detail in the Bible. It describes its wall having been made of jasper and its length, width, and height. Anyway, as we pass through gates, we advance into a better dwelling place in heaven, as said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. If we zealously strive and achieve whole spirit, we can qualify to enter the city. For this reason, the Bible urges us to wash our robe and circumcise our heart. It tells us to cast off all forms of evil, achieve goodness, and dwell in the light. I challenge you to run an earnest race towards New Jerusalem, obeying the shepherd who instructs us exactly according to the Bible. Here, now let me ask you a question. If you find your clothes unclean, filthy, and covered in dirt, how would you feel? Would you feel comfortable keeping your clothes on? Wouldn't you want to change into clean clothes, even if it takes your time and effort to wash off the dirt with detergent? Yes, no wonder you feel comfortable wearing clean clothes, and it looks good as well. As Pastor Dongju Shin testified, he talked about the cockroach. Even at the sight of cockroach, people are frightened even at the sight of cockroaches. How they look frightening. But some people, however, some people are not afraid of cockroaches, but some people are frightened. They are terrified. Suppose you mistakenly sit down on the cockroach and thereby making it crushed, how would you feel? It would look horrible. So the Bible says, if you have a piece of excrement on your clothes, would you leave your clothes like that. But the sins and evil are dirtier than the cockroaches or excrement. If you spiritually, we have to quickly cast off the sinful natures in our heart. Let me read the scripture again. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Why are they blessed? It is because they
더 나가 문들을 통하여 성에 들어가 즉 예루살렘의 성에 들어갈 권세를 얻기 때문에 복이 있다고 말씀하고 계십니다. 마음의 묻은 더러운 때를 영적인 물인 하나님의 말씀으로 씻어내어 깨끗게 해야 하는 것입니다.
We should wash out the filth, dirt from our hearts and cleanse it with God's word, which is the spiritual water. We should have hearts as soft as cotton so that we will neither offend nor be offended by anybody. Suppose you fling a stone into a piece of cotton. It won't make any sound, but will tenderly embrace the stone. Even if you prick it with a needle or a drill or a piece of metal, it won't make any sound. As you just watched in the... If you fling a stone into cotton, would it make any sound? It won't make any sound. But it will tenderly embrace the stone. If you achieve such a heart, you won't conflict with anybody. Your heart is as soft as cotton or silk. You have a gentle, good, righteous, serving, and humbling heart without self-seeking, judging, condemning, or gossiping. You won't look at the flaws of others with your heart changed into truth. Brothers and sisters, how happy you will be if you achieve such a heart as soft as cotton. How happy you will be if your spouse or children have such a heart as cotton. Also, if you, pastors, elders, deacons, and deaconesses have such a heart, how delighted you will be. And many of you have achieved such a heart as soft as cotton. But if all of you achieve such a heart, Father God will be delighted as well, and our shepherd as well, and all of us will be delighted. I hope you, all of you, will achieve such a heart. I hope you will achieve a heart by which you don't clash with anyone. Furthermore, I hope that you can fully satisfy the requirements of the bride by achieving a pure and clean heart by which you can embrace anyone. I pray that you can be acknowledged by our Lord, just as it is said in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. Brothers and sisters, the third requirement of the bride pleasing to the Lord is to prepare the oil while staying on the alert. In today's scripture, the virgins who are waiting for their bridegroom prepared oil and lighted a lamp. The prudent five virgins prepared the oil and went into the wedding banquet. But the other five were not let in because they failed to prepare the oil. What then does the oil in today's passage stand for? Oil is prayer and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me rephrase. Oil is prayer and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It is to get filled up with the Spirit by prayer. Even though you've received the Holy Spirit, if you don't prepare the oil, namely, if you don't pray and receive the fullness of the Spirit, your spirit will gradually die out. You will gradually lose grace and faith. Without the fullness of the Spirit, you are not headed for heaven. You are not headed for the glorious city of New Jerusalem, but for the world. You have your heart taken away by the world, and you follow the lust of the eyes, the pride of this life, and the lust of flesh. Your mind and thoughts lean towards the world. Namely, you'll be headed the opposite direction. For this reason, the Lord's bride should always stay on the alert in prayer and keep their oil from running out. How blessed we are to have... How blessed we are, because we have, in this church, the Friday all-night service. On top of that, through Daniel prayer meeting every night, Mrs. Bongnim Lee devotes herself to helping us prepare our oil. Our beloved shepherd has dedicated his wife, Mrs. Lee, to leading prayer meetings every night, instead of having her serve him and look after his three daughters. It is to help us satisfy the requirements of the bride. Now that you've received such love, I urge you to stay on the alert even more and pray with the fullness of the Spirit. Particularly, from February 20th, a special Daniel prayer meeting starts with President Bongnim Lee. I hope you will have a blessed time to prepare your oil. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to help you better understand the preparing of oil, let me share with you a part of Senior Pastor's sermon. In his childhood, when he was a child, there was no electricity in rural villages in Korea. People of young generation may not know what the lamp is, but when I was young, I saw such a thing. They lighted a lamp with oil. There was a vendor going around his village to sell the oil. Because he would come only about once a month, people had to buy an enough amount of oil in advance. Those who were well off could afford to buy about 2 liters of oil, while others could only afford 1 liter of oil. So they had to use it sparingly. The water bottle, people who didn't have enough money, one liter of oil is as small as this. So because they only bought such small amount of oil, they have to use it sparingly, and it was not easy to meet the oil vendor because he would drop by his village only once a month. While people were out working in the fields, they failed to meet the oil vendor. It was good to buy a sufficient amount of oil in advance, but not having enough money, they could afford only a little amount of oil. The shepherd's family was rather well off at the time, but they could buy only 1 liter of it. Even as a little boy, the shepherd thought it would be better to buy 2 liters in advance, so he was concerned about them. His parents must have wanted to do so, but they just couldn't afford it. By the time Senior Pastor delivered this message, some of the pastors visited his hometown, and there, the inhabitants of his village testified that his family was the richest. His family had a lot of fields, and they were the richest. Even so, they could afford only 1 liter of oil a month. Although his family was well off, they could afford only 1 liter of oil. People lived in such dire poverty back at the time. It was back in 1950s and 1960s in Korea. And in rural villages, they had no electricity, so they had to use the oil sparingly. When someone tried to make the lamp light a little brighter, his father scolded him and directed him to make it less bright so that they wouldn't run out of oil. If they failed to conserve oil, they ran out of it because the oil vendor visited their village before the oil vendor visited. Once the oil ran out, they couldn't even light a lamp at night, but just lived in darkness. Nowadays, with development of science, we have illuminating nights. But back at the time, they lived like this. The same goes for our preparing spiritual oil. We have to prepare a sufficient amount of oil in order that we don't run out of oil and live in darkness. Physically, we can't buy oil without money, even if you want to. But for spiritual oil, it depends on how we make up our heart. If we only pray hard, we can prepare our oil as much as we want. If we run out of spiritual oil because we can't light a fire in our heart, darkness comes upon us. Subsequently, our faith will weaken and the fullness of the Spirit will disappear. As we lose the strength to live in the Word of God, we naturally look back to the world and make friends with it. If you live so, what would you say if our Lord comes back and says, "Come, my bride"? You can't say, "Please hold on for a while, I'm not prepared yet." Would he stop coming back in the middle? He can't stop coming at the prayer of a single person. He comes exactly at an appointed time. So only those who've prepared are allowed into the banquet, and the door shuts. Let me give you my own testimony regarding the Lord's second event. When I was a novice believer, I had a dream one day in 1990. Just as written in one of the hymnal, number 165, the lyrics go like this. Just as written in the hymnal, there sounded the trumpet of the Lord all over the world. Even as a novice believer, because I was longing for the Lord, for the coming of the Lord, I always had in mind that when our Lord would come. At that moment, in the dream, I hurried to the window to watch the spectacle. As portrayed in the painting right behind me, in this picture, people were being lifted up into the clouds as if they were... It looked just like this. There were many passages opened, and people were lifted up through... And some people were being lifted up into the clouds as if they were pieces of metal attached to a magnet. But some of them, however, were ascending slowly. Looking back, I think they were going up according to their measure of faith. But surprisingly, still others who still had attachment to the world, even fell back down to the world. Later, when I read the Bible, I realized that those who had attachment to the world, they fall back down to the world. Just as the Lot's wife in Genesis turned back, because Lot's wife received turned back and thereby became a pillar of salt. As I was watching that scene, standing at the window, I earnestly hoped that I would be lifted up as well. I woke up on that desperate and anxious feeling. At the time in the dream, I failed to be lifted up. Since then, I tried to live an earnest Christian life. I knew that our Lord would come back at a certain time. When the trumpet sounds, I have to be lifted up. I should never remain on this earth. I lived with this heart. I still vividly remember that dream. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's second coming will soon take place right before our eyes because it's the promise of our Lord who is faithful. Therefore, all of us should be lifted up at His coming and enter New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, when our Lord appears in the air, unless we qualify as His brides, we can't be lifted up. At that time, there's no use anxiously and desperately crying out, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." That's why our Lord warned us, "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Therefore, as said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing, and in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God in prayer. To be qualified as the Lord's bride, you should always stay on the alert in prayer and keep our oil from running out. Dear brothers and sisters, just as we can see bright lights even at night with the development of science, if you strive to stay awake in prayer and get filled up with the Spirit, you reach a point where you don't need worries about your fire being put out. Because your soul is prospering, you can retain the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you are indeed a bride of the Lord, you should live in longing and anticipation for His coming and confess, "Lord, come quickly." Those who can say this from the depths of their heart have finished adorning themselves as brides. Namely, there are the people of Holy Spirit. As said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, God wants our spirit, soul, and body to be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have already achieved this word can pray, "Lord, come quickly." They look forward to seeing the groom. I challenge you to pray fervently and ride on the Holy Spirit and thus long for and anticipate our Lord's coming. Let me conclude the message. Acts chapter 1 verses 9 through 11 say, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in the white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking to the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" As stated in the Bible, our Lord will come in just the same way as they had watched him go into heaven. So we should joyfully welcome our Lord, the groom. Brothers and sisters, to fully satisfy the requirements of the Lord's bride, first, we should have firm faith by which we don't waver or shake in any kind of trials and tribulations. Secondly, we should make our heart clean and pure and have no blemish. Thirdly, the third requirement of the bride is to prepare oil and stay on the alert. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." As said, nowadays, the world is deceiving God's children by means of physical affluence, comfort, and pleasures. Thus, as God warns us in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, "Do this, knowing the time that is already hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed." So we have to stay awake in our life of faith and keep ourselves from being tainted by the world. Brothers and sisters, the shepherd's power of recreation is unfolding now. This church will mightily accomplish the world mission and the construction of the grand sanctuary where we will welcome our Lord. As the lyrics of Manmin Praise, "I love you, the flock of Manmin," goes, I want you to come forth as the true fruit of the shepherd so that you can satisfy the requirements of the bride and enjoy the everlasting joy and happiness in the glorious city of New Jerusalem. So let's reflect on today's message in our prayer.
할렐루야, 사랑의 주님, 은혜와 사랑에 감사합니다. 오늘은 신부의 자격을 아버지 말씀을 드렸습니다. 우리 모두가 신부단장 잘하여 신랑이신 주님의 기쁨이 되는 신부들이 되게 축복해 주시기 원합니다. 계아래 수가 모든 것이 헛되고 헛되다 했는데 헛된 것 취하지 아니하고 정령이 헛되지 아니한 영원한 것을 취해 나갈 수 있는 지혜로운 성도들이 되게 축복해 주시옵소서. 감사를 드리옵고 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
It's time to receive the senior pastor's prayer. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on the sick parts. If you don't have any sick parts, please lay your hands on your chest for your heart's wish. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, and neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the deaf, heat, and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received these answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.